Well, let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and ask that truly you will help us to prepare well for this song item. May you use it to challenge hearts and encourage hearts during this Christmas time. We know that there's a lot of challenges happening in the world. There's sorrow and sadness. And we just want to pray that during this Christmas time, that through this song item and that evening, we can bring some joy to people. And we pray, dear Father, that you bring people into our midst and we can minister to them and bear witness of the faith that we have in you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you bless us as we study your word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, today we carry on with Ecclesiastes 8. And in Ecclesiastes 8, basically, he's raising this question about who is a wise man? We've been talking about practical wisdom, about how a good name is better than precious ointment. Don't be overly righteous, don't be overly wise, and of course, that's not the best thing. And, you know, we talk about wisdom strengthens the wise. Previously, we talked about who is a wise man who knows the interpretation of a thing, how we interpret something. It's very important. And then, ultimately, a man's wisdom makes his face shine. There comes a special sense of joy. Now, today we're going to continue with this idea of, you know, who is a wise man? What does it really take to be a person who is wise? And one of the things that you will see whether a person is wise is how a person listens or follows the law of the land. Or in the case of Ecclesiastes, is the commands of the king. Okay, and how to see all these things. From a practical point of view, with reference to Singapore, okay, we have a good government, but how do we want to respond to these things? Okay, now, let's take a look in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 2. It says, I say... Now, from time to time, he will mention or he will write certain notes. He will put in certain notations, like I say. But, I mean, hasn't he been saying, right? He has been writing, he has been bringing across issues. But then from time to time, he will mention certain things. And we have to figure why he mentioned these things. So when he says, I say, it is a word of advice, right? It is a wise word of advice, a personal word of advice given to us, to readers. And he goes on to say, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. Okay, what does this mean? Now, we want to begin first with the root idea. The root idea is, do we just... Hello. Do we just listen to any king? Wow, thank you. Do we just listen to any king? Do we just listen to any king's command? And the answer is, of course not. We don't. Right? So should a subject just listen blindly to a king's command? Now, we have to look at the context. Firstly, what is the root idea? We want to begin first with the root idea. And what is the root idea? And that is with reference to the king. Now, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And in Deuteronomy chapter 17. I should wear my specs, huh? Today I'm not wearing my specs. Okay. So in verse 14, we read, so these are principles governing kings. What should a king be? When you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you and possess it and dwell in it and say, I will set a king over me, like all the nations that are around me. You shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses. Now, first criteria, it is not the people who choose, but the one that God chooses. From among your brethren, you shall set as... So, okay, this person has to be someone from their midst. Not a foreigner. Okay? You shall set as king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother. But he shall not multiply horses for himself. Okay? Horses, okay, today's equivalent is what car you drive. You should not drive a Rolls Royce. You should not drive a sports car. Right? He can buy watches, yes. But that's okay. But not expensive. Many horses and so on. Right? Cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. You see? So wealth is seen by the number of horses you have and what kind of horse you have. Right? And for the Lord has said, you shall not return that way again. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he greatly multiply silver or gold for himself. Now, of course, all these criteria Solomon failed. Right? He multiplied horses for himself, he multiplied many wives, and he had much silver and gold, right? So, you know, so for Solomon straight away, you know, he has failed on these aspects. And it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. Now, you read in Ecclesiastes, there are moments where he mentions fear of the Lord, right? He mentions the fear of the Lord, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's fully following this idea of fearing the Lord. Okay? Now, of course, along the way, he did. He didn't fear the Lord. That his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandments to the right or to the left, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Okay, so a king must follow these things. Right? When the king follows these laws, then he will also rule righteously. He will rule in a way that is honoring to God. Okay? Only then you are to obey the king's command. Right? And that's very important. That's the root idea here. That he will rule over the nation well. That's the root idea. Okay? So during the time of King Solomon, the kings had absolute power. He makes a decree and you can't go against it. Right? So now in US, Trump is becoming like a dictator. Okay? He's coming out with all kinds of decrees and, you know, he gets, so he becomes like a, you know, martial law like that. Right? Certain places, like Washington, he brings in the National Guard. And then he has absolute control over the state. Okay? Now, he would come up with judgments over matters. It is wise to keep the king's command according to what is good and righteous. In 1 Kings 12, we read of Rehoboam. He made a wrong decision and Jeroboam challenged the king. Okay, let's turn to 1 Kings 12. So the king must be someone that is meant to make good decisions. Okay, so in 1 Kings 12, Rehoboam became the king, and then Jeroboam came to him. They sent and called him, and Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came. Your father made our yoke heavy. So he's talking to them now, right? Solomon brought about forced labor on the people in building all his temples and for all the wives. Can you imagine? 1,800, was it? 700 wives and 300 concubines. Every wife, one temple. Can you imagine? And so the people had to build these temples for them. So, of course, this was almost like forced labor. They needed to work. And so your father, referring to Solomon, make our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you. Right? So, basically, Jeroboam told Rehoboam to lighten the load. Okay? Now, he said to them, give me 3 days, and then you can come back. And then Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon's while he still lived, and he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him, saying, if you will be a servant to these people today, serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. That's very, very good advice. Right? But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and stood with him. And he said, what advice do you give? How shall we answer these people? Lighten the load, the yoke, which your father put on us. And then the young men who had grown up with him said, thus you shall speak to these people who have spoken to you. Your father make our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. Wow. What does that mean? My little finger is bigger than my father's waist. What does that mean? The little finger, father's waist. Yeah. So basically, he's gonna make things far worse for the people. Right? Interesting analogy. Right? Okay. My father chastened you with whips, I will chastise you with scourges. Wow. That is gonna be horrible. And because of this, the people rebelled against Jeroboam later on. Okay, now, so we see this idea, and so here we read, okay, let's go back to Ecclesiastes. Do you have any questions? So we begin first with the root idea. Okay, secondly, in Ecclesiastes, we read, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. Now, what does that mean? For the sake of your oath to God. For the sake of your oath to God, keep the commandments of the king for the sake of your oath to God. What does that mean? What is this oath to God? Why oath to God has to do with keeping the commandments of the land? Okay, let's ask all those who work in civil service. The nurses. Okay, let's start with the nurses. You all have to take public service. Okay. You want to make a distinction? That's fine. Public servant. Okay. Yeah. Do you have to take an oath or something as a nurse? Declare, I will do my outbest, outermost for our country. You have to take an oath or anything? You have to say something? No. When you all graduated, do you all have to say something? I sumpah. You all didn't say it. Say in your heart. Yeah, but are you supposed to... Do you have a nurse's oath? Or okay, the doctors, they have something, right? Yeah. I call it the hypocrite. 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 Do you have? You have, right? No. Have lah, right? Yeah, yeah. So you, did you say it? You didn't say it. Yeah. Okay, so okay, what does this mean? Stanley, you also have to take an oath, right? As a lawyer. Huh? You have to, right? There's some lawyer's code or something, is it? Do you remember it? Yeah, yeah. Audrey, do you have no need to say anything? Just sign contract, Muni. Yeah, I remember as a pilot. So as an officer, when I became a pilot or an officer, I needed to take an oath. I had to swear my allegiance to the president. Okay, the person who is right in front, he represents the president, some minister or someone, and then he represents the president, and then we swear allegiance to the president and our nation. I will give our life in war. Okay? When I was a pilot, I used to think, wow, I'll give my life for the country. Now serving as a pastor for 30 years, I might not give my life for my country. If I really have to, yes, but I'm not, you know, because there's so many people to win to the Lord first, right? So, but in times of war, if I have to protect our country, yes. But other than that, I won't. And so this idea of an oath given to the king is the idea of servants who work under the king. They swear allegiance. Right? These are what we call traditions and customs of during that time where the people are subjects to the king and they swear their allegiance. Okay? Basically, these are traditions and practices. Last time they have this thing called long live the king. Right? Long live the king. Long live the prime minister. No, we don't do that today. But to us, the only time that we feel that I really feel very patriotic and, you know, in some ways a bit of loyalty and allegiance to our so-called king, our prime minister, is on National Day, right? When he comes in his Mercedes and then he waves at us, and then you feel a sense of, okay, you know what? That's our king, but the commas. Right? Last time I used to feel very proud. You know who or not? Proud, Lee Kuan Yew. Wow, when he walks on, I'll clap with all my... Because, I mean, he really did a lot for Singapore. And, you know, there's a sense of allegiance, a sense of patriotism. There's a sense of, you know, loyalty to Singapore and to our leaders and to our country. Right? And so, part of the idea, it's how we follow their directives, right? The way we respond to the things that we have in Singapore. So here we read the idea of for the sake of our oath to God. When we make an oath, when we swear, when we swear our allegiance to the king, we are supposed to keep the king's commandments. We are to honor our oath before God. Okay? That's the idea. Okay. Should we do that or shouldn't we do it? Of course, do you swear? Do you have a sense of patriotism in Malaysia? Yes? No? You want to be Singaporean already? I mean, if you have a chance to be Singaporean, you'll be Singaporean. No. Huh? No, yes? No. Not yet. Yeah, well. One day. Yeah. And so this idea of, should we, okay, say for example, there are sometimes there are not so good things about our government. And of course, now some of the not so good thing is, well, the COE is very, very high. Buying a HDB flat, a small, is so expensive now. And I'm sure people are not happy about that, right? Although the government is really, really trying to appease the people, coming out with, well, every other day, they're coming out with, you know, land, BTO. Let's BTO together, you know. That's what you read in the MRT. And so, should we go against the government? Should we go against the king's command? Yes? No? Okay. So, we all have a responsibility. We want to be responsible citizens. Right? It's important for us to be responsible citizens of the land. Okay? You go against the law of the land, you pay the price. Okay? Like, for example, this SCDF guy together with his wife cheated the government of, I think, what, $120,000. This guy. Don't know how they I didn't read the full article, but basically they cheated the government of $120,000, and they were caught. Right? If you go against the law of the land, you have to pay the price. Okay, so now in verse 3, it says, do not be hasty to go from his presence. Now, what does that mean? Do not be hasty to go from his presence. What does that mean? Do not be hasty. Why hasty? Means what? When do you go hastily away from someone? You don't like them? What else? Okay, dangerous. Okay. Sorry? No response? No response as in? Oh, talk to all. Okay. Okay, so when a person hastily goes away from someone, he's very reactive. Okay? So what he's trying to say here is, do not take your stand for an evil thing, for he does whatever pleases him. Do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand for an evil thing. Okay? Very often, this is what I call, okay, wrong reaction, or don't be reactive. Don't be reactive. Sometimes we are reactive. We react to things, right? So this guy is going away from the king. You know, he turned his back. Do not be hasty to go from his presence. He's turning his back. He's going away. Why? Because he's angry. He's upset. He's reactive. And he ends up being angry. He wants to rebel. He thinks of evil things to rebel. Right? One good example is Absalom. Right? He went against the... So what he did was that he was not happy with his cousin. I think it was his cousin who raped another cousin or sister. And he was very angry, got him killed. And then he ran for his life. Somehow, he came back. But then he began to plot against his own father. Right? He began to plan with one of the good, so-called good advisors of David, Ahithophel. And they rebelled against David. Okay? And that was something that... Okay, so this is plotting, rebelling, thinking of how you can scheme against the king. So what he's trying to say, don't do such thing, because the king can do whatever he pleases. The king can just decide you be executed and then you're gone. Right? do not stand for what is evil. The wise will not do that which is evil. They're not wise to stand with rebels. Should we stand with the opposition party in Singapore? Yes? No? How, Mason? Should we or shouldn't we? Good question, huh? Perhaps you all can go into groups and discuss. Should we stand with the opposition party? Okay? The king has absolute authority to do whatever he pleases. Now, he goes on to say in verse 4 and 5, where the word of a king is, there is power. Who may say to him, what are you doing? During that days, no such thing as opposition party, no such thing as going to parliament and then say your piece. You say something wrong against the king, then you are gone. The king is just going to turn around. Who keeps his commandment will experience nothing harmful. Okay? But on the other hand, if you begin to speak against the king and oppose the king, that's it. The king has absolute authority. So there's safety if we yield to the king. But if, you know, those who do not obey, rebel, they'll be dealt with. They'll be harmed in the process. And so that's what happened to Absalom, Ahithophel, and the other rebels, right? 2 Samuel 17. Now, we come to the point of it all. Now, this is very, very interesting. It says, and the wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. A wise man discerns time and judgment. What does this mean? Time and judgment. What do you think it means? A wise man discerns time and judgment. Okay, we'll go into our groups. We discuss. What do you think this means? Time and judgment. Okay, let's... What do you all discuss? Let's start with Sil, your group. What do you all... Do you all have a mic? Do you have any questions or anything that you want to raise up?
We have a few questions. Okay, what I want, I guess, is just to how to correctly read the verse. Yes. Like how to correctly interpret it. Another one is, I think come from the circumstance that actually we have quite a good government. We don't see much need for any resistance or insurrection.
Sure.
Or rebellion. So we cannot really understand from the point of view of, say, let's say, like Chinese government. Now they don't allow them to worship God or to have Christianity. So they have underground churches.
Yeah.
Whether that is like by default because we are meant to obey God and therefore obey authority for God's sake. To obey authority first, and then the application of the verse, we think, is to discern when is a good time to do what. Yeah, then that's the judgment part. Like, how do you... I mean, you react, but not hastily. But when is a good time and what kind of judgment to make?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first question is, what does this mean, right? So basically, it means that you're supposed to discern time and judgment. A wise man's heart, he will discern time and judgment. So from his heart, he discerns, right? So here comes a time when he makes a decision. Because, okay, here comes the king. He commands a decree, right? So he's in the king's presence. Now, at that point of time, how are you going to decide? What judgment are you going to make? What decision are you going to make? Right? If you are angry, you are upset, you are reactive, you turn your back on the king. You walk out of the king, which that's very common. That's what people do. When they are angry, they're upset, they walk out. right? Is that a wise thing to do? Because if you do that, then there are consequences to it. Can you see that? Bad consequences can come. But if you take a moment and you make a good judgment, what is a good judgment at a point of time? Don't react. Like you say, okay, take your time, think through it. How should I go about it? And then when you make a good decision, a judgment, you make a good decision, time will tell. Time will tell whether that's a good decision or not. Whether that's a good judgment or not. So that's the context. That's what this is about. Right? With reference to a Chinese government, what should we do? How, if we were in the position of the people. One, if you can get out of the country, get out. If it's possible for you. And you see a lot of Chinese people now in Singapore. Right? If you can leave, then leave. Why stay in a country where, you know, where you don't have the freedom to worship the Lord? But okay, say for example you're poor and you can't leave the country. Just say you can't leave the country. What should you do? Well, you have to be very wise about it. If you go underground, the government can still come after you. Right? If you go to the accepted churches, you're not going to listen to deep preaching of the Word of God. So you got to work around it. You need a wisdom to know what to do at a point of time. It's very hard for us to decide what to do because we're not there. Okay? I think this is applicable. My group, we were discussing, this is also applicable, not just with reference to the government, but for example, if you have bosses, and your bosses ask you to do something which is not reasonable. At a point of time, you think, should I do it or I shouldn't do it? You're angry, you're upset, I don't do it. But that's going to affect you in your relationship with your boss and how he's going to see you with reference to being a worker.
This not reasonable thing, is it a by Bible law not reasonable or like by
in your own mind, in your own idea? Okay, he tells you now you gotta work, you know, the next 4 or 5 days, 18 hours a day, you know, because we need to work overnight, you gotta work over the weekend. What should you do? Right? You have to work, you have to work. That's life. I used to have to do duty on Sunday. You go work at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, you stay in the camp until the next day, 7 o'clock. 24 hours. The good thing is that you get Monday off. Right? You go back, sleep. In Sunday, got nothing happening in the camp, so you sleep the whole day, you relax. Monday, you're off, you can do whatever you want. But the point is, if the government needs you to do something or your boss needs you to do something, as long as it's not illegal, you have to decide how you want to respond to it.
So, Basmish, this passage is more talking about the principle of making the decision rather than how to make the decision, is it?
Sorry?
Like
that's why you say discern time and judgment.
Yeah. So it's not.
So okay, you got to decide. Okay, you make a decision now. The point is, you make a decision now. What kind of decision you make, time will tell whether that is a good decision or not. That's what he's trying to say. Discern time and judgment. So you make a decision now, 1 year's time or 6 months time. You can see, okay, you know, maybe that wasn't a good decision. Maybe this is a good decision. Right? If I follow the king, the king is happy, he rewards me. Good decision. Right? If I make a bad decision, I'm angry, I'm upset, bad result. That happens. You follow? So it really depends on the situation. How do you want to respond? You can be very upset, you throw tantrum and so on and so forth. Then it becomes, you know, something that is not good. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Okay, anything else for your side? Your group, how?
Similar, we weren't sure what the definition was. Yeah, I think we had a bit of a different discussion because we went down a different path.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I think like we were thinking about time and judgment relative to like understanding God's will.
Mm.
Yeah, so like not being hasty and not reacting because... Like, I guess, like, so Carmen brought up Romans 13 about submitting to the government. Like, understanding that God moves and plans things and if we were to be hasty or we were to react without considering all these things, then we would be, in a sense, like, taking things into our own hands and also, like, meddling lah, in his plans.
Yep.
Like, it's not supposed to... He has a certain thing in mind, but because we are not sensitive to it, then we act out of place. Yeah. So I think that's where our discussion went to.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's turn to Proverbs 24. Okay. In Proverbs 24, we read of this. Okay. So Proverbs 24 in verse 21. My son... So in verse 19, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked, for there will be no prospect for the evil man, the lamb of the wicked will be put out. Right? So of course here is the evildoer, he will pay the price in the end. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those given to change. Right? So here the idea of given to change is the idea of changing the landscape, changing, being a rebel. That's the idea here. Calamity will come suddenly. Right? So here the person, if he doesn't follow the king and he doesn't fear the Lord, what's going to happen? For their calamity will rise suddenly. And who knows the ruin of those two can bring. Right? So do not associate with those given to change. Right? Rather fear the Lord and the king. So here the challenge is to fear the Lord, but also the idea of giving that kind of regard to the king with reference to... his commands and all. Okay? And of course, Romans 13 comes into play too. So time and judgment. Let's try to apply this with reference to ourselves. The decisions we make now, every day, every other day, sometimes there are decisions, mundane decisions, where should I travel to? That's fine. That's preference. But there are times where there are what we call pivotal moments. Pivotal moments where the kind of decision you make is going to affect you for the future. Pivotal moments where the king or your boss or gives you something that you need to do or he needs you to step up. The decision you make is crucial. You make a bad decision, you will come up with bad result. But you make a good decision, a wise decision, a good result will come up. Can you see? A good result. So, someone rub. Did I rub this or did you rub? I rub it. Okay, my fault. Yeah. So, what's the first one? Yeah, also good lah. What's the first one? Root idea, right? Secondly, responsibility. So, we all have to be responsible citizens. Okay, what's number three? Do not react. Three, you see the results, right? So, you see the results at the end of it. What results? So, the judgment you make, time will tell whether that's a good decision or not. Time will tell whether you have made the right choice. And so it's important for us within our hearts. So a wise man's heart discerns. So you have to discern. Discernment comes from the heart. It's not just the mind. It's not just very theoretical. It's wisdom is reference to your heart. A wise man's heart discerns. Can I discern what is good, what is excellent, the choices I make? Okay, let's turn to Philippians. And here we see the idea of discernment. Okay, verse 9, verse chapter 1. And this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment or depth of discernment. All discernment means there's a depth of discernment. There is a being able to look at it in its full view and being able to decide with the ability to discern what is the best thing. Can you see that? Right? And to be able to choose that which is excellent. That you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. And I think that's something that we all want to pray for. If you really want to have discernment, it begins with deeper knowledge. Right? So love has to abound. As your love abounds, how should I love? Well, there must come a deeper knowledge, a depth of knowledge. And with that depth of knowledge, there's a depth of discernment. Okay? And the idea of... I was just reading this during the week. And the idea of discernment is very interesting. Philippians 1 and in verse 9. Okay, this I pray more and more. And discernment. The idea of discernment is the idea of, again, judgment. To be able to look at the whole thing. To look at it and to be able to discern what is the best thing. Can you see this? Perception, judge rightly. Okay, with insight, that's the idea here. Discern what is best. Okay. And then the next part is to approve. To test. To prove is to approve. To test it out and prove things. That which is truly excellent or superior. And I think that's something that we want to really practice in our life. To be able to see that which is truly excellent, between that which is good and excellent, right? To look at the whole thing. So at the end of the day, is with that knowledge, with that understanding, I can look at the whole situation and then I discern. I can make a distinction. What is truly good and what is truly excellent? And then I choose. And then I learn to be sincere, I learn to be blameless till the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something we can pray for. I think we all need to be a bit more discerning, right? Time and judgment. We make decisions every day. Sometimes we make decisions that are very pivotal crucial. And it's going to affect your future. Okay? Make wise decisions. Don't regret. Make decisions that are wise, decisions that will bring about the Lord's blessing. Rather than the king's wrath. Rather than your boss's wrath. Right? And that's something that you want to think about. Okay? Ken? Okay, any questions you want to raise? Okay, well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray this afternoon that we thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to be able to understand these things and to apply them in our lives. We pray, dear Father, that you will teach us how to apply this principle of how a wise man's heart discerns time and judgment. And we pray, dear Lord, that you will also grant us wisdom as we discern times when we have to make choices, times when we have to make pivotal choices. We pray that you grant us the wisdom, the judgment to choose that which is good and wise, and we can see your blessing in it. So we pray that you will continue to lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.